Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me. And not for the first time, I've not really got an idea how this is going to go. Mainly because when I've started to collect my thoughts for this week, it's not gone in the way it goes 90% of the time, or 80% of the time, where I have a set number of things that have, intrigued me, irritated me, exercised me on various days, and then I go through what those things are, and it kind of works its way out from there. I haven't got that kind of thing. It's more of a feeling this week. It's more of a lot of things that come together that have given me a feeling or have made me think about something that I'm not grappling with. Grappling is the wrong phrase, but I'm just trying to make some kind of sense of, and whether I even need to make sense of it is actually part of the question itself. But we'll kind of get into that. So I'm gonna talk a bit, and then I'll try and see if I can bring it together. But it might not come together, if that makes sense. And it might be 5 minutes or it might be 25. I really don't know. So let's have some twangy guitar and see how we get on. Okay, so in the greatest tradition of storytelling, it does actually start at the beginning. And by that I mean that if I think about it, it starts today, which is Easter Monday, except it's not, but you know what I mean. So, and it starts on Easter Monday because on Easter Monday I break out a jigsaw. Nothing particularly unusual in that, you wouldn't have thought. And it's a jigsaw of Times Square, and my dad got it me for my birthday. And I've been gifted a few jigsaws, actually, over the last few years. And for whatever reason, I like being given a jigsaw. And I'm going to shout out to Linda, actually, because Linda sent me a Christmas Carol jigsaw, which I thoroughly enjoyed doing. And I've also got a jigsaw of Retford, the town I was raised in, to do, which I'm looking forward to doing. And my dad got this one at Times Square. And it just happened to be that this one, which has no white in it. So straight away, in terms of the slightly more traumatic jigsaw experience with the outside of the tube map, this isn't a traumatic jigsaw experience. It's got plenty of colour. This is, and this one's all about the colour. This one's not about the shapes, it's about the shades. Because as you start to put it together, you realise that what you're looking for is matching shades that go together rather than, and that's the way this one seems to be going. And by the way, I'm not going to start a whole thing about jigsaw theory. I'm just telling you that this one, I'm looking for shades, whereas when everything's white, the one thing you're not looking for is shades, you're looking for shapes. Anyway, and I'm sure there are other ways of doing it, and I'm sure lots has been written about it, and I don't intend to get that deep. But the one thing that, so it starts today, but the experience of the week is that I seem to take comfort in these 15-minute jigsaw bursts. So it's on the table in the kind of the family room, which is kind of the big room at the back of the open plan room at the back of the house, and I'm good for if I go in, if I sit maybe while I'm eating my breakfast or while I'm having a coffee or what have you, I enjoy a 15-minute just tinker with this thing, and I'll do, you know, however many pieces in that time, and I'll make a bit of progress and I'll go away, and then I'm dipping in and dipping out, and I'm a great dipping in and dipping out person. I like the kind of pottering thing. So this jigsaw has proved to be a source of comfort's the wrong word, but I've found it very positive in terms of my general well-being over the course of this week. And I've realised now that actually, if there was always a jigsaw on the go, and of course that's not going to work out because over time you're not going to want one, there has to be something that you do and then it stops and then it starts again. But the fact of the matter is, for the time being, I could see myself finishing this one and maybe doing another one, because having one there in that space, in that room, works really well. And the other thing that's really, really helping this is light. Because I find doing a jigsaw in natural light, the two things I like to do, and I like when the days are lighter, is read the jigsaw, is do a jigsaw and read the paper. I'll always read the paper in the morning because I find it easier to read in the light, and I'm same with the jigsaw, far easier to do in the light. So imagine the scene, the thing I'm telling you in this part of the story is there's a jigsaw on the table in our in our back room, and it's been a positive. It's been a force for good through the week.
Tuesday.
Okay, so you all know I'm involved in junior football, but what you probably don't know is that the little village team that we have, which we have teams across 10 age groups, I'm vice chair of. And what that meant is that I got a phone call from my chairman, who'd also spoken to the treasurer, to say, I want to buy a ride on mower. And he was quite giddy about the prospect. And that's fine, I like somebody being giddy about things like ride on mowers. And the reason we need this is because we play some of our games at the junior school, and as with everything council-related over the last however long, the basics of cutting the grass has become politicised. Politicised is the wrong term. Basically, you don't get cut because there's no money. It is as simple as that. But if you can politicise something like grass cutting, then grass cutting to a certain extent has got politicised. And by that I mean that we talk about the number of cuts and the length of the grass and what is appropriate and comes within the remit of grass cutting. Anyway, the fact of the matter is it ain't fit for purpose. It has so many things to do with councils aren't. And we've decided as a football club that we will improve the pitch no end if we cut it more frequently. And we were chatting to somebody from the Football Foundation who basically said the best thing you can do for, 75 to 80% of improvements in football pitches are made by just cutting it regularly. And so we took the decision to go out and spend some of the club money, and we bought a ride-on mower. Right, set the scene. I go down on Tuesday because the mower's been delivered, and I'm at the junior school, and we are there with a bright red, and let's face it, it's got to be red, bright red ride-on mower, okay? And over the course of the afternoon, and I went down for half an hour and I stayed six, as you do in these situations. But what we did was we had a high-powered football club meeting, which basically meant we took an hour and a half to work out how to get this mower to work, and then we all had a go. The reason why I'm telling you this is I could be telling you this because of the kind of commitment that people make to causes and the comfort people make in volunteering and all that kind of thing, because there's an enormous amount of time goes into something like the football club. But really what I'm telling you it is for is because I loved being on the mower. Okay, I was just driving up and down in my own little world. I was emptying the grass every four times up and down the pitch, reversing into the spot and pulling on the handle to empty the grass. Thought that was amazing. Love the fact I can reverse this thing. And I was just going up and down. And it's, I don't know if it's going to take over from the simple pleasure of marking a football pitch, but it's certainly up there. It's another one. I've gone from having just marking a pitch, which is a happy thing for me to do, love doing that, to actually now thinking that for the next years in front of me, because this pitch is going to need cutting every week through the summer. If we're going to improve the surface, we're going to need to cut it pretty much every week through the summer. And I am now looking at something which I can probably explain to the world is a task that I've taken on, and I'm taking one for the team. But in reality, I'm going to be one of a small group of us, and let's face it, all middle-aged men, who are going to love going down and actually spending, a couple of hours in tandem with our ride-on mower. And do you know what? When I finish my little bit of ride-on mowing, I might even get to mark out the lines and go over the lines as well. I mean, literally, it doesn't get any better than this.
Wednesday.
Okay, so Josh is away this week, and he's been away since Tuesday, and he's away doing his expedition for his Duke of Edinburgh, for his Gold Duke of Edinburgh. And that involves four nights in a tent and four and a half days of walking, sort of 8 hours walking on four of those days, planning out a route, carrying all the food they would need, setting up, pitching up, breaking down, all that kind of thing. Not a lot of civilization in the routes. So he's out over towards Whitby and on the North York Moors. And we think he's getting on okay. Had a couple of phone messages. Think he's getting on okay. Not going to know. He's going to come back fairly broken, but we'll see what he's like and piece him back together when we get him back. The reason for mentioning it is because this hasn't been driven by Josh. This has been driven by his mother, who has always banged on about Duke of Edinburgh when she did it. And she was one of those people that then got invited to the palace when she you know, did her Duke of Edinburgh and got her award. And so it's always been a big thing in her life, and rightly so. I absolutely get it. I mean, it wasn't in mine, but it was in hers. I absolutely get it. But it's one of those things where we're now living our lives through our kids. So, and there's been, in my mind, a little bit too much pressure placed on Josh to do this. If you listen to Alison talk, then without this, he's never going to get a job. He's never going to get to university. He's never going to find a life partner. And he'll probably be, you know, in a ditch or sat in a doorway drinking meths, the way she kind of frames it. It is of that tantamount sort of importance. I mean, all I can say is I didn't do it, and none of those things have ever applied to me for much longer than a few days at a time. So there's a bit of that that's thrown in. Now, we think he's going to enjoy it. We think he's with a decent group of lads. I think he's going to have had a good time and got something from it. But the fact of the matter is, this wasn't something that necessarily came naturally from Josh. And to the same extent, Sheffield United, which is something that I've dragged Josh along to since he was however high, is me vicariously living my life through him as well. Now, there's something comforting. I mean, A, there's something great in going and having that experience with him, which I absolutely love. And it's just a thing that we do. And you can't put a price on that. But then at the same time, there's also the fact that very shortly he will take this and he will run with it. So when he's at university, he will be going and watching football, potentially watching United. He'll potentially start going away to away matches that I don't go to, because he'll get to a point where he doesn't need me to take him. He can go on his own, and he'll carry on going when I'm not going. And that's the hope, that this is something that, you know, in the same way that at some point my dad won't be going anymore, then he'll be going when I'm not going. And that's what we do. We put these things down, and the things that are important to us and that were of importance to our parents and our grandparents, which they were in this case, we then hope they will continue. We'll hope that somebody will take that mantle and we'll carry on with them, whether it be an experience like Duke of Edinburgh or whether it be something like Sheffield United.
Thursday.
I've got a yin to go to the East Coast. I want to go to Scarborough or Filey or Whitby. I don't know whether I need to go for a day, whether I want to go for a couple of days. I don't have a particular reason to go, other than I just want to be in that part of the world by the sea. It'd be nice to wake up and go for a run in the morning. Which probably points to Scarborough, because there's a really nice 10k route if you go from one end of Scarborough to the other. If you go from I think we've talked about this before, but if you go from all the way around to the Spa and back, then you've got a run in. But to be fair, you could probably do the same at Brid. Actually, it's probably a reasonable sort of 10k path at Brid. And I can't tell you why, other than I feel I need that in my life again, because it's been a while since I did it. And I'm starting to realise that as a person, there are certain things that, to ground me and to bring me comfort and I think grounding is probably the best phrase, but to be settled, I need to do on a fairly regular basis, because I don't feel connected to my support structures, to where I'm from, to my sense of belonging, if I'm not doing these things on a fairly regular basis. And of course, that then presents this challenge of, well, shouldn't you be always looking to do something new? And I like new experiences, I really do. But I'm starting to realise that actually I need to keep my existing experiences as part of my sort of life, as my day to day, or not, you know, week to week, month to month, year to year, whatever. Because without that, that sense of belonging is diminished or fractured, or starts to fade a little. And the one at the moment is, you know, I've been to, I mean, we're still going through the football season, so I'm going to Sheffield on a fairly regular basis. So that one's all being played out, you know, and the weather's starting to pick up. So that thing of just sitting in the garden with a brew and what have you, that's starting to happen. So that's great. But the one thing I haven't done for a couple of years, or what seems to have done for a while, is be on the East Coast. And I can't explain why. I can't tell you why. But then I'm going to say it's the same reason why I seem to be finding as I get older that so many things in my life that bring me comfort are things that I then need to make sure I have around me, because otherwise I can't necessarily operate. And in this, I'm getting close, I think, to what I'm trying to talk about this week. But for whatever reason, it's just struck me that I now have a desire and a need to go and spend a little bit of time in that part of the world, just to reacquaint myself with that part of the world, just to see that part of the world again, and to not to do anything when I get there, just literally just to be there for a little bit. Because I need to keep doing that. I have these certain things that I seem to need to have to do on a fairly regular turnaround, just to keep me, if that makes any kind of sense. Because otherwise, you know, it's bringing balance to the force, I suppose, is the best way of defining it. And if I don't do that, then something else is going to give, or something is going to be wrong, or I'm not going to be myself. And I can't tell you why. In the last week or so, I've just started thinking I need to go to that part of the world, and it's the same thing applies with other places and what have you. If I didn't go to Sheffield for a while, or if I didn't go to, if I didn't go for a walk. I mean, walking's a great thing. I mean, obviously, just starting and just having walked this week has put something back that has been missing. And there's a thing they're missing now, a desire to go and just be in that part of the world. And it's not because it's the most beautiful part of the world, and it's because it's part of me. It's a fundamental part of my upbringing, of my childhood, of places I've spent time. And I'm not saying it's because it is the most idyllic place. It's just something that gives me a sense of meaning, I guess.
Friday.
You've probably somehow worked out what I'm trying to get at, and I don't really know if I haven't been able to articulate it very well, because that's the problem with something that's a feeling. You can't, it's difficult to articulate it very, very well, but it's been something that's definitely been, it's been part of this week for me. It's happened around too many things, and it was only when I thought of the Blink 182 song. It's only when I thought of all the small things that I realised that's exactly it. That is the essence of what I'm trying to get to, is that it's the combination of all those small things that give me a sense of balance, a sense of calm, a sense of understanding why, understanding, you know, the reason, or how to actually exist, how to go on, how to try. Because we get so mixed up in the detail, we get so mixed up in the stuff that we do, and it's so difficult then to, you know, it's the hardest thing in the world to stop and work out why. It's far easier just to get on and do it, because as soon as you stop and work out why, it throws up far too many questions that you can't even begin to deal with. But actually, the answer for me is in all those small things. It is in sitting on a tractor and marking out a football pitch, and it is in, you know, 15 minutes with a jigsaw, and it is with, you know, 15 minutes with a paper, and it is with, and we keep on going. It is with those times of thinking, I need to go to that place and just spend some time there, or I need to, it's, that's all of it kind of rolled into one. And I don't know how to operate or exist without those things. I walk into my office all the time, and for somebody who doesn't hoard, and I'm not a natural hoarder, but I surround myself with books, and I surround myself with music, and I surround myself with films. So my shelves that are in here are really important to me. They bring me a sense of of calm and a sense of peace and a sense of belonging. And I can't explain to you why, but they just do. And yet, in so many other areas of my life, I can't deal with clutter. So how can I not deal with clutter in one sense and deal with this? Because this is the bit that I have to surround myself with if I'm going to be able to just, I guess, cope. I guess it probably is cope. And, you know, there's the dilemma. There's the dilemma of somebody that wants to do new things, see new things, experience things, wants to move on, but at the same time needs to be rooted in a lot of stuff that without, I don't know if I'd be able to do the things that I do. That got quite heavy quite quick, didn't it? I'm sorry. Again, I don't know why I'm apologising, because this is exactly what this is for. This is to try and express something that's going on. And some weeks it'll be anger at credit card tills, and other weeks it'll be absolute outrage at a political party. And sometimes it will just be trying to make sense of anything, make sense of why this week I've decided that at some point fairly soon I need to get in the car and drive 100 miles and walk down the seafront at Filey. And without any particular justifiable empirical reason as to why I need to do it, other than just a feeling that I need to do it. I'm going to go then, because I could carry on like this for ages, and I did say it could go a bit silly. So let's just leave it there, and I don't know if it's helped me, even if it's confused you, it's helped me. So I'm going to go and have a glass of wine now. Because I can, because it's 9:10 on a Friday night, and because I feel better for even trying to explain what's been buzzing around my head all week. Because, you know, it's not a case I'm going to let it go now, but maybe it'll settle into a better sense of order just because I've actually articulated it or tried to actually say it out loud. Anyway, I hope you're well. I wish you a really pleasant weekend. I know we've got a storm coming in. I know it's going to be gusty and windy and what have you, but it's also going to be warm. So I hope in between the gusts you get a bit of sunshine on your face, and I will speak to you soon.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.